So let's recap what we've learned. We've learned quite a lot in a short space of time there. So let's just recap on that before we chunk you on to the next bit. So we've learned values. What are they? We've said that they are basically provide our motivation, our drive in life. So we do things to fulfill our values, okay? And they also provide our after-the-fact evaluation of our performance. We also use our values to judge other people when we perceive them. And we also use our values, or our values are important in relationships because obviously we need to be aware of our values of our partner, our intimate partner, so that, you know, ultimately there should be things that you have in common. Ultimately, in life, here's where it works the best. It works in life really well if your values are aligned with your partner. In this instance, sameness is good. You want your values to be the same. What you don't want to be the same is your energies. It's your energies that you want to have polarity on, okay? There's no point, you know, having a relationship with someone where you want to spend time you don't like spending time with doing what they do, and they don't like spending time what you do, which means you're never going to be together. You're actually going to have a different, separate life. You just kind of come home and eat dinner and, you know, go to bed, for example, and that's the only time you actually are together, for example. And you do, the most rich and rewarding times in your life are when you're doing things separately. That's a recipe for a relationship that's never going to last, unless you just decide to have a friendship. So what you want to do is you want to have values in common, ultimately, but you need to have your energies in polarity so that one of you, you know, ultimately is a man and is masculine in their energy, and ultimately the other lady is feminine in her energy. Obviously, it can be the other way as well. There are genuinely people who are the other way. So there are generally people, men, for example, who at their core are feminine, for example. That does happen. And we have ladies at the core who are masculine at their core as well, okay? That does happen. It's reasonably rare, but it does happen, okay? Obviously, at the extreme examples, of course, we get, you know, homosexuality, I suggest, at the extreme examples at the end of that, okay? Now, I'm not going to go into that subject here, but, you know, you can see how that has some impact. So what you're seeking to do when you're getting into a relationship with someone is find somebody that A, has the same values as you, but is your polar opposite in terms of their energy, in terms of your true energy, not the mask that you're wearing, okay? So if you're a lady, but you wear a masculine mask, if you're wearing your mask and not being yourself, then you're going to attract a mate, a male, that wears a mask also on the other side, okay? So what's going to happen is, just draw this out to give you some idea of the energies in a visual form. So let's say this is a balanced energy. Let's see, this is feminine and this is masculine here. There's obviously a range. So if you're, for example, a very masculine man, what you'd be attracted to is a very feminine woman. Make sense? For example, you know, that's why I suppose the stereotype of the big sort of muscular man goes with a little Barbie doll, for example. That's why, because they are actually attracted to each other in that instance, because they're right at both ends of the scale there. Okay? So provided they also like to the thing they value the same, that relationship will work really well. The only challenges, not necessarily challenges they have with having your energy right off the end of the scale there, is there's a possibility of you dropping off the end here and here. Now, dropping off the end of the scale here at the feminine end of the scale here, what that means is you almost fall into the trap of being a victim again. So because here, this is vulnerability going this way. The more feminine you become, generally speaking, the more vulnerable you become. And that's a good thing. But if you go too far off the end of the scale, of course, you're going to become a doormat. Does that make sense? And at the end of the scale off here, a masculine man going off the end here is going to become too aggressive and abusive, for example, and drops off the end of the scale there that time as well. So there's ideally, you want to be able to develop this range so that you have the ability to effectively better go on this scale, also for man to be able to go all the way into here. Because if you're just a masculine man all the time, then, you know, you've lost this whole range of yourself here, the feminine side of you that's underdeveloped. And primarily what we want to be doing is have the ability here to expand our range so that we have choice about where we want to live at various times in our energy, but we primarily live in our essence of who we really are. Does that make sense? Yeah. So if you're a person that lives here, for example, in the masculine energy, then you're going to find yourself attracted to someone there. Does that make sense? Because that's the polar opposite at this point. Makes sense? So again, that's a very useful thing from a trainer's point of view as well, because as a trainer, again, you want to be, you're working with energy the whole time. So there are times, for example, where I'm stepping into the masculine force, for example, especially if I'm my power spot, for example, very masculine energy. But yet, a while ago, while we were doing this, for example, very much more feminine energy, for example, using that more sort of spiritual, more connected side of me rather than that focused, driven individual, which I might use at various times. So again, it's the ability to use those energies is really, really important. And that's a little bit of a clue of how they all fit into the values as well. Because as I said, in your relationships, you do want to be aware of the values of the person that you're in love with, and also the energy that they are. Now, if we take Emma and my relationship as an example, I primarily, and I'll talk about some of the challenges we have as well, if I may. I'm actually about here in my energy. Yeah, that's where I am. So I'm masculine, but not very, very masculine. I say I'm not off the end of the scale. I'm into masculine. I'd categorize myself about there, which means I'm reasonably close to being feminine. I have the ability to go into that state very easily. Now, Emma, for example, lives here. So she's feminine, but she lives at the upper end of the feminine scale. So we're in danger a bit either, because we can sometimes flip into these energies very easily. So what happens in our relationship sometimes is when Emma feels a bit uncertain, for example, and she starts to freak out, I can sometimes have the danger of falling into this side of the scale, and these roles swap over like this. So she takes control at various times, and she will make things happen. And what I can, when she does that, in order for me to have polarity with her at this point, I have no choice but to take, well, I do have a choice, but I'll often take the choice of coming here. So we swap over. She becomes the man, and I become the lady, for example, and she, for example, makes things happen in the household for a while. Because, and the reason she's done that is because is she's not feeling very certain. So what she's done is she's gone into the masculine energy to get her feeling of certainty back. And what I need to do in those times, and what I'm learning to do more and more, is that when she does that, it's for me to stand there in my masculine energy and give her the certainty that she needs so that she doesn't feel that she has to come and grab it for herself so she can primarily still live in her essence. Does that make sense to you? Yeah? And similarly, for example, I might make the move here, for example, and cause her to go there. So it's kind of vice versa. So for example, if I'm feeling uncertain in my life, for example, it means I've moved here. So if I'm out of whack, which doesn't happen very often, but remember I mentioned it happened for about 3 or 4 days in a row, I was right over here somewhere, all out of sorts, then of course, in order sometimes she'll go to here. Now she didn't have to, she could have become even more feminine and that would have worked as well. Because even more feminine would have given me the connection I needed, which is probably what I wanted. I probably wanted the connection, the love, and the support from her that I felt I wasn't getting. So what I do is I have a tendency to make myself feel broken in order to get the connection with her. Does that make sense? So but then what she did is she did a masculine. She might do a masculine thing, which is try and fix me, for example, by going here. But really what I wanted to do was to come back here and be more nurturing, for example, so I could solve it for myself. So there are plenty of choices that happen around what we do with our energies when certain things show up in our lives. And ultimately, you want to live in your essence of who you are as a person. But again, based on our experiences and the values that we've created, our values are very much attached to the energies that we run as a person. So if, for example, you have a high value of certainty and you're a lady, then you're going to be living over on this side here. Because a man's energy, the masculine energy, is all about making it happen. It's a drive and a focus and a oneness to it. Yeah? which is why, and a lady's energy is much more expansive than that. It's not so focused and one like that. It's much more graceful. A feminine energy is much closer to God than a man's energy, way closer. Because a feminine energy takes in everything. They can feel everything. They've got that sensory acuity switched on. They have that whole oneness thing going on. And if you could take that to the nth degree, if we can think about a masculine and a feminine energy in one of its most acute forms, if you like, is when you're making love. So if you think about the male ejaculation, one thing. It's all geared for one moment, making happen, one moment of creation. Whereas a lady's energy is much more flowing than that. It tends to be, you know, like all over the body, for example, is the orgasm. And of course, it tends to be more free-flowing and ongoing as well. They can have more. Whereas a man, like, one, I'm done, I'm out of here. You know, I've got mine, bitch. You know, that kind of thing going on. Whereas with a lady, it's much more expansive than that. Does that make sense? So that's, an example of the energies. So again, you need to look at what you've come to value in life, because it will have an effect on the energy that you're primarily living in. So if a lady becomes certainty focused, then you tend to wear a masculine mask. It's not who you are. You tend to do that quite a lot. And for a man, for example, if you're living in a feminine energy, it means you've given up your power. It means you've given up your... See, a man, what a man needs in his life... See, I'm better at talking about what a man is than a lady is, obviously, because I'm a man. But what a man leaves in his life more than anything else is a mission. A man needs a focus and a mission for their life, a big purpose for their life that drives them all the time. And when men don't have that, when men don't have a mission or a strong purpose in their life, they tend to wither away and they find other things to do in their life that are distracting them from that purpose. So they might, for example, engage in day-to-day stuff that really doesn't really serve them, but just distracts them from the fact that they're not on purpose. So, you know, we can talk about, you know, doing drugs, for example. We can talk about, you know, getting involved in dramas and making fights and things like that, because it all stimulates and ignores the fact that there should be a mission and a purpose in the life. Only every single time I've worked with a male who's got those kind of issues, they have no purpose. One of the biggest reasons why I personally, as an individual, was doing drugs when I did for the 7 or 8 years that I did them, because I had no purpose other than living day to day. There was no real reason. I couldn't see the big picture about what I wanted to do. And when men do that, they can easily get hooked up into doing things that are just in the moment. And that's what's missing in their lives. So you must, whenever you do any kind of big change work with someone, if they come in for a big global change in their male, you must, having finished the intervention, you must finish up with working on their purpose. If you are a parent and you have boys, then please start early in helping the boys to develop a purpose. What often happens is and the boys start to have dreams about doing things, and then as a result of the man feeling that he hasn't really true met his potential or his purpose, one of two things can happen. Either the son ends up having the father's purpose, or the father downtreads the fact of the son having any purpose at all, because, like, you know, that's their model of the world. And said, oh, you know, you couldn't do that. You know, do this instead. You know, they go for the safe option rather than going for what you really want to do. If in life parents could only let their kids decide what they want to do and support them fully, we'd have a completely different world than we have today. But most of us downtread all those things because we have, oh, you know, we want to avoid them feeling, you know, failing, for example, so don't try, that kind of stuff going on, or various other forms of that. Now, for ladies, of course, essentially, it's more difficult, unfortunately, for a lady, because you've got two things going on for you. You know, there's the raising of the family. There's the, because you're the people makers. I mean, you just are. You know, more than the men, you're the people makers. So your biggest outcome, really, when you're in your most feminine form, is to raise and to grow people. That's essentially your biggest goal in life. And it's just unfortunate that in society we've kind of fallen out of valuing that somewhat. And we tend to overvalue some of the other things that are more masculine. So today, a lot of women are just men, you know, in a sort of feminine form, in that, you know, they've given up their right to be feminine, for example. And I'm not saying that, you know, you don't need to have good careers and stuff as well. You do, definitely. But you want to do them in feminine ways. Because unfortunately, society and the world, the corporate world, for example, doesn't normally allow you to be a lady very well in the corporate world. It's not respected by the men. The men still have the upper hand and dominate somewhat. And the ladies still have a difficulty in allowing themselves to lead in a feminine way. And we're missing out by doing that, because that would really be nurturing for lots of people. There's a real value in that that's missing right now, I think, in many companies. So a lady's energy is much more expansive than that. It takes in so many other things. And the only danger for ladies is if they get hooked up on one purpose too much. And what happens for ladies when they do that is you start to feel tense. You start to put on this, there's lots of tension in the body and stress in the body, because your body was not designed to do this one thing focus. It's just not where you're set up. You're much softer than that. And if you ever feel a lady who's become a man, you touch them, they're very, very tense here on the shoulders. Very tense. Very tense all over in their body. And of course, the opposite is true for a man who's become very feminine. A man who's very feminine, for example, who's become so soft and relaxed and laid back, just kind of don't even move very much. Yeah. So again, some sweeping generalizations, but probably useful ones, but obviously bear in mind they are just simply that, generalizations. But I think it's useful, since we began to talk about values, to also look at the wider context of how your values fit into both your needs, which are your super values, and also, indeed, your energy that you live in, also from a feminine and a masculine point of view. Let's sort of bound ourselves back to where we did when we first started by looking at these values here. So we have this list of values. So now the thing about values is they are context dependent as well. So for example, we could have you just elicit your values in business would not necessarily be the same as your values in life. You have values around family, for example. Yeah. You have values around any different area of your life. So let's have a look here at our values list again. So we've got these, we have different people shouting out these values here. So freedom, loyalty, skills and knowledge, love, integrity, security, adventure, honesty, honor, kindness, children, justice, tranquility, respect, health, music, spirituality. And then our final page, we had money, gratitude, success, respect, trust, contribution, cultural diversity, and fortitude. So, again, a very diverse list. And also, some of these values are what we'd call ends values, and some of them are means values. Now, we need to understand the difference between an end value and a means value, because that's real important. So let's have a look at those. So we have here freedom, loyalty, love, integrity, security, adventure, honesty, and honor are all end values because they're all feelings. They're all emotions. Whereas this one here, skills and knowledge, is not really necessarily a feeling. It's more a thing. It's more an action rather than an end feeling. So what we do to turn that skills stroke knowledge into an end value, somebody over here said that over here, skills and knowledge, what was it? Yeah, so Kate. So what we say to them very simply is, so Kate, so what does skills and knowledge mean to you? Or we say, what does it do for you? So what does that do for you? When you have skills and knowledge, what does that do for you? Good, so certainty. So now we have skills and knowledge. The reason I do that is because it leads to, this is the vehicle, a car, that I get in to drive myself towards the end feeling of certainty. So, that's really important. Let's have a look at a few others so that we can... Okay, again, here. Children are not a feeling. It's outside of you. It's someone else. So, who has it said children? Thank you, Paul. So, what does children mean to you? What does your children mean to you? Love. Okay, great. So, that's the first one he came out. Now, we could probably get others as well. So, what else does it mean to you? Connection. That's kind of the same. What else does it mean to you? The future. Okay, that's kind of not necessarily a feeling. So, anyway, stick with that's what it is. So, again, in this situation, Paul has a vehicle called children that he drives himself towards the things of love. So this is a place that he goes to experience the value of love and connection. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Yeah? So we can begin now to look at, because we have started to here, begin to get some very high chunked up values. The highest chunked up value you're going to get is going to be a need. Yeah, that is highest chunked up value is going to be a need, which is going to fall into one of our six categories of certainty, uncertainty, significance, or love and connection, or at the highest level, growth and contribution. Now, it's going to be different for different people. It's going to be different for different people. So that's what we mean by a means value and end value. A means value is a means to an end. So Steve has music. Was you Steve, wasn't it? Yeah. So what does music mean to you? Inside, the other Steve, next side. Yeah.
Expression.
Expression?
Yeah.
So now expression, again, is probably slightly not quite a feeling. It's more an action to express yourself. So what does expressing yourself do for you?
Also freedom.
Freedom. Great. That's closer. So music is a place I go to give myself the feeling of freedom. Does that make sense to you?
Yep.
Yeah, perfect. Okay. And money is another one. Money is a means to an end. You've heard that. Well, it's true. So what's the end value? Well, it's going to be, again, there's no common theme here. It's going to be different for everybody. So who said money? Somebody said money. No one's thrown up to it. I don't want to be so shallow. So what could money mean to you? Freedom, security, choice, contribution. Yeah, again, so we don't know. We'd have to check with each individual. What does money mean to you? Yeah. Okay, good. So that's the difference between a end value and a means value, and that's really important.
Just one thing, Andy. You were saying that we have different values in different areas of our lives.
Sure.
However, if we had like one set of values for all our life, wouldn't our life then just work perfectly and be very integrated so that, then everything, if you knew your values totally, your values, and then everything else could flow from that, and that would be really nice because your work and your relationships and everything could come from one set.
Correct. So what's the reason why that's not the case for many people?
Well, I would think possibly because they don't know their values.
True. And what's another reason? Because just not knowing your values doesn't stop you from acting them out differently. You can be unconsciously doing them without knowing your values. So that's probably not the exact answer. Since that just knowing them doesn't stop you from knowing that they're there doesn't stop you from doing them, does it? So what is it that has somebody have different values,
okay,
let's say, in one place than another?
I would, off the top of my head, I'd say it's because they've got values that are actually in conflict. So they've got one value which is taking them one direction, say, in their career, and then one direction which is taking them another direction.
Brilliant. So there's conflict.
Yeah.
Now, whenever there's conflict in the human nervous system, what do we have? A part. So you've got parts going on. So you've got parts by themselves are conflictual. So you've got a part going on. And the part is my business persona, for example. Yeah? So you have the part called business. You have the part called dad. And you have the part called someone else, which means you've compartmentalized yourself. rather than just be yourself. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's the answer. You have the right answer. You've identified it correctly. The goal is to be yourself and to be who you are at all times. But what's the reason why somebody wouldn't do that here? That, so we know there's a part here which is you know what's going on in the nervous system. But for what purpose, Steve at the back, left for the microphone coming, for what purpose would somebody not be themselves here?
I think it would be fear of failure. And I think, to me, I think that's absolutely right what Tamsin was saying. And perhaps the conflict is fear in the first place, fear of dealing with it, or fear of failure, or fear of not having the money, and just doing what's totally not yourself.
Yeah. There's probably a bigger fear here. What would the bigger fear be here, probably?
Fear of success.
Which is, let's stay with it a second, because it's really worth sometimes, in my opinion, chunking things, you know, going as far as in, because ultimately, there's derivative of. At the moment, you're on a derivative. There is a greater fear than fear of success. What drives the fear of success?
Perhaps, well, I mean, I would have started.
How can the fear? It's not the fear of failure.
Yeah.
It's not the fear of failure.
I would have started from that, but perhaps thinking up, perhaps it's fear of actually being powerful.
Yes, that's true. That is true. So fear of being powerful leads to fear of what?
Yeah, that I was starting with. I thought that was lower down, because that's just what
it's
I think.
Actually higher.
Things I have.
Right. It's actually higher. Fear of being rejected by other people and not fitting in. That's what fear of success is all about. As in, I'll become successful, but then, you know, you've got the fear of loss of it, which is the fear of failure. And you've also got the fear of rejection going on as well there. Those are the greatest fears we tend to have, our fear of loss of something that we prize and fear of rejection.
Thank you. That's explained something.
And you can never, and the truth is, these things here are not real. That is not real. You can never actually lose anything because it's all in here anyway. And you can't lose it by giving it away, like we said, because there's nothing out there. But that's where we live, because that's what we tend to believe about the world. So that's what's going on here. People are different in situations. Now, okay, let's take a different situation. Let's want to take it this far. Do you run different values, i.e. apart, just with different people? As in, you know, rather than be who you truly are, for example, when you get around people, another part runs. Yeah, you have a part that runs for, as a generalization, you have a part that runs for people that you've just met. So you have a just met part. I've just met somebody, so you run your just met part. Which is, you know, you don't really be yourself. You pretend to be someone that you're not, or you hide parts of yourself. Rather than just go up and be like someone you've met for years, for example, why not? Because that's who you are. You're just meeting yourself back again. Yes? But you don't, because you have the other belief, so you run that other part. Let's look at another one. Another part, a part called kid. And you go home again with the parents. And so what you do is, you run the part called I'm a kid again. Which is sometimes kind of nice, because you kind of get, maybe you get looked after and nurtured a bit. But at the same time, is it also true that you regress significantly as well in these situations? And what happens is all the old labels that they used to have for you come back. Now, if you happen to be, when you were younger, for example, for whatever reason, you've got this label that you're a bit clumsy, for example. When you go home, all the labels are there, for example. And you run the part called clumsy inside and you actualize it. They call you clumsy and you actualize it. So there, sure enough, you start being clumsy again because you're running the parts, running the behavior. And the part has values and has beliefs all of its own. Now, of course, as we discussed yesterday, Again, there are trainers who come up and have the part called trainer. I wear the part called trainer, so I'll be the trainer persona, for example. Again, rather than just be you, which is a lot easier. And it is okay to be you. And that, at its, I suppose, at its simplest form, is what you're doing with any NLP technique. As I said before, you're just seeking to create more wholeness again and put in the purpose. The only reason most people have challenges in life is because they're not being themselves. I mean, they're just not. They're being loads of smaller parts of themselves, shrinking down to fit in, being fragmented parts of themselves. Now, there is a part of them that runs this whole show. There's a part of, like, who runs the parts? There has to be a super part that runs the whole parts, right, in this whole thing. And that part that runs the super parts is your unconscious mind. It knows. Now, obviously, you know, at its most extreme, we get into the multiple personality disorder. But to be honest with you, that's just all that really basically means that the thickness of these boundaries around the parts here is just thicker, basically. That's all it really means. And the behaviors become more intense. The more fragmented an individual becomes, the greater challenges they have.
Dave, team one. Now, you mention on numerous occasions, whenever I've seen you during breakthroughs, whenever I've seen you on FYD, both as a participant and as a member of a crew, and also here and at the NLP Pract, that as NLP practitioners, we act as if.
Yes.
So that in itself, to me, says that it's a part, and it's in conflict in my mind now with what you've just said. You know, so parts can be disempowering, but at the same time, they can also be empowering. Is what I'm.
Yeah, good. That's a great question, and also this is where there is a fundamental argument in the NLP community about parts, in that some NLP communities say that you should create more parts and that you can then just become the part, for example, when you want to display that behavior. I'm not from that particular school of thought. I am from the school of thought of creating wholeness. It just seems to make more sense to me. Now, in answer to your question about specifically acting as if, let's look at a specific example. So where is an example where you would act as if?
Presentation.
Presentations.
Confidence. Yeah. Sort of eluding confidence, even though inside I might be shitting myself.
Yep, excellent. Good example. So how is that a part?
Because I'm not being myself.
And yourself is?
Nervous.
Nerves.
Mm.
How do you know that's not a part?
That is a part.
Yes, you are, aren't you?
That's right.
A part, that is.
Yes.
Who are you apart from?
Myself.
That's right. So when would you decide to act fully being yourself and join the show again?
Repeat the question.
So when will you decide to act being yourself and join the show again? Now.
Now.
Good. So when you're acting as if, what are you doing?
Not being myself.
And what is not yourself?
Not me.
So who are you then? When you're not being yourself?
Someone else.
Who specifically? Since you said someone else.
apart?
Is it... someone else? Or is it some one?
Some one self.
That's right. So when you're acting as if, you're acting...
as me.
That's right. But you just have to act because you've forgotten. How long do you think you'd have to act so that you weren't apart anymore? From the one self.
The part is me.
That's right.
Therefore, being, acting the part, is self. The same.
That's right. So since you know it's all you anyway, what would you decide to do?
Be myself.
That's right. And when you're doing that, you're not doing what?
Being someone else.
So therefore, you're not being a part.
That's right.
Very good. So, do you now not have an answer to the question you didn't have before?
I did have a question before.
What was it? Or is it? Not there now. How's it different now?
Decisive. Purposeful.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
What would you do with that? What does that mean? You'll be decisive and purposeful. What does that mean you'll do now that you hadn't done before? What have you been hiding out from?
Myself.
For what purpose? Now. What's your mission now? First thing.
Global.
Global. First global thing. Mission for what? What will you do? What will you do? What have you done?
Direction, improvement, peace, self-worth.
Those other things are really nice. What are you going to ground it in? How are you going to have an undeniable experience of all of that that's tangible? What will you do to actualize all of that, to have you know and experience who you are? First thing that comes up, your mission, your purpose. You know what I mean by that, don't you?
Yes.
You know what I mean? I have a mission and a purpose in my life. What one will you choose now? Since you can. Choose, I mean.
Freedom.
Yeah. How do you do that? What would you be doing to actualize that? I'm talking about your outcome, your goal, your purpose. What have you been hiding out from doing? Are you on purpose?
I am, yes.
What are you doing to be on purpose? What are you doing to grow, expand, and contribute to the world around you?
Being myself.
That's nice. But they come and take your furniture. So what are you going to do in this world? How are you going to contribute to this world now? Since you know you're the one. Since you know you're the one. What are you going to do? Decide now. Make a decision.
Go for it.
What?
My dream.
What is it? What is that dream? Since you're right now, they say, what is that dream? What is it?
To follow my path, to go, I'm thinking practitioner, I'm thinking helping people, I'm thinking projecting myself, making a career.
Great. So give me a little bit more definition. You grounded it just a little bit more. Tell me some more. Create a picture of it now in your mind. What does it look like? What does it look like? What does it sound like? Tell me your dream. Make it real. First a thought. A thin spidery web. And then like a cable, automatic, every day. What's the thought first? What are you going to create now? Oh, big one.
Path is the word that comes to mind.
You're going to create a path. You're going to build a path?
Not physically.
Who's going to walk it?
Me.
On your own?
No.
So for what purpose are you building the path? Do you see what's going on here?
Me.
This is what he does. Okay? This is what he does. This is the only reason at the moment he's not built that path. Because he doesn't know where it's going. He doesn't know where to start it. He doesn't know what to make it out of. He doesn't know who's going to be walking the path with him. He doesn't know what to build it from. Bring it from up here, here. You are up here at the moment in the oneness. That's great. Now I want to ground you. I want to bring all that feeling here and say, how are you going to manifest it? There are so many things you could pull out of that oneness. What is it? Define it now.
Love.
Okay. So what's the mission? How will you do that? Because at the moment, love is really still up there. I'm looking for it. Like me, I have a mission. Mm. My mission is to serve. And I do that by creating seminars, by creating other people that can create seminars, by healing the planet, by working with individuals to heal themselves, to be themselves, to manifest money. What's yours? How will you do that? Is it going to be, like you said, through being a practitioner? Is that what you said?
That's what I said, and yeah.
So just dwell on that for a moment. Let's just hold that thought just for a moment and dwell upon that and make it more real. I want you to close your eyes for a moment, will you? Close your eyes for a second. Let me help you out. I want you right now, I want you to imagine. Project yourself into the future, to an unspecified time. And if you could create exactly what you want right now, see a picture right now in this place. So ramp it up now. Step into the experience. Feel it now. Are there feelings associated to this? What feelings do you feel? First ones that come up.
Joy.
Joy. Okay. Where do you feel that joy?
In the middle of my chest.
Okay, good. Which direction is it moving?
Up.
Okay. How fast?
Medium pace, sort of gradual up.
Okay. So I want you to now expand the feeling so it goes up and then begins to expand outwards in a 360 degree direction. Feel that joy now. Really feel the joy. As it begins to expand throughout your whole body. What are you saying to yourself in this situation as you experience it? If you were to observe yourself now, looking down from above, through the eyes of the ultimate observer, having seen and witnessed all of this, what do you say to yourself having experienced that?
Pride.
Very nice. What else? What do you say to yourself? Would you say just pride, or would you say a whole sentence? What would you say if you were looking down at yourself from the eyes of the great creator?
You've achieved your purpose.
Very nice. What happens when you say to yourself from the eyes of the ultimate observer, you're achieving your purpose? What happens?
What happens to me?
Yes. What's the difference between you're achieved your purpose and you're achieving your purpose? What happens?
I prefer achieving a purpose.
You prefer achieving. Very good. So what I'd like to do is ask your unconscious mind now to allow that memory of the future to float down into your timeline to exactly where it needs to go. And notice how it does that, floating down into your timeline. You can just let it go. And it finds its own place right there, just about there. And notice if you look out into the future how all of the events of the future seem to align themselves from this place as a result of that memory. And as you look back towards now, notice how all of the events that lead up to that seem to align and organize themselves in exactly the right way to allow that to happen easily and effortlessly without any effort at all. Notice how all your timeline seems to light up. And any dark areas that were there before seem to now lighten up completely. Now, in a few moments, I'm going to ask you to come back to now. Only as quickly as you can apply all of these learnings across the whole of your timeline, and only come back to now as quickly as you're ready to accept this is who you are. And this is indeed your dream and your destiny. And you'll begin to notice over the next few coming days and weeks and months, and increasingly you'll begin to notice as every day that passes that you're moving closer and closer and closer to your purpose. And at some time in the future, you'll be surprised to notice that you're already there. And somehow, and you don't know how it will happen, sometimes it might be a whisper on the breeze. Could be a rustle in the trees. Could be just a feeling that bubbles up from somewhere. Or something somebody says to you, a chance meeting with somebody that you've never met before, but somehow there's a strange feeling of familiarity that has you know that you're there, aren't you? So, in your own time now, just begin to float back towards now, only as quickly as you can allow all of this to happen easily and effortlessly. And when you're ready to accept that, who you are is someone truly magnificent. And realize that you've just been a part. You can now readily accept that you are the one. And when you're ready, you can come back into the room, opening your eyes for the first time. Hello.
Bonjour.
Oh, you've gone French. I didn't expect that. Very nice. Give Costas a lovely hand. Thank you.